Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. This episode is part of the new edition of the Love Osho podcast dedicated to sannyasins who did not meet Osho in the body. Today our guest is Ma Prem Manisha. Manisha took sannyas in 2008 and is a transpersonal and integrative psychotherapist, family constellation and path of love facilitator. Manisha is also a clinical supervisor, trainer and trauma practitioner. Manisha runs bespoke workshops for groups on a diverse range of topics related to personal development, transformation, essence and the true self. Manisha, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm really well and thank you for inviting me.
It's my absolute pleasure. So, to start, tell us a bit about how you came to know about Osho.
Okay, so let me like kind of make a beautiful long story palatable and short enough to digest in this moment. So I was living in Greece. I was living in Athens for about 10 years from the age of 18 onwards. And I was studying psychology. I was working in nightclubs. I was modeling. And my life was pretty much full, exciting, and transformational. Lots and lots of things happening, lots of developments and change. And I was just passionate, you know, about the human condition. So eventually I finished my first bachelor's degree in psychology in Greece, and I had a real decision to make. And the dilemma was stay in Greece and really have fun and be exciting and party until you drop, pretty much, or continue with the search for love and truth and psychology and development and see how to combine them. So the actual master's degree that I wanted to do, which was transpersonal psychotherapy, they didn't have in Greece. So I needed to leave the part of my life which I felt was really exciting and full of fun to then go and do the master's. I ended up returning to London. The choice was between New York and London, but I was born in the UK, so I don't know, kind of the path took me back to UK to London, and I started my studies in psychotherapy. But what I realized was the excitement and the celebration and the fun was a little less than what I was used to. I was back in London. London's very expensive. By this time, I was about 26, 27. And I remember just kind of walking the streets in London, a little bit lost, feeling, wow, is it just going to be about studies and psychology and psychotherapy and without the fun? Or can there be another way? How do you bring celebration into transformation, into truth, into love, into change? Anyhow, it was a difficult period. So I was this particular day, I was actually walking around Leicester Square, and I kind of remember looking up and thinking, come on, there's got to be a way. Show me. And I don't know if you know London, but I walked down the side street where there is a beautiful bookshop called Watkins. So now we're talking, I think 2000 it would have been. And in the window in Watkins was a guy who was dressed in just beautiful white linen clothes. And he was sitting and he looked like he was kind of given some form of readings. And I was just intrigued. So I said, let me go in. I was just driven. And I ended up going in and saying, hey, I feel a bit lost. Can I sit down with you? So I sat down and we ended up just having this beautiful conversation, which was literally so grounding, so loving, so in the moment. And then I just felt this incredible presence. And I said, you know, I am lost. And I love, you know, human potential and creation, but I also love the celebration. And I'm just, you know, looking for some form of guidance, how to pull these things together. So he said to me, put your hands out. So I put both hands out. And in my right hand, he put a CD. And in my left hand, he put a CD. He said, go home and in the morning, do the CD that's in your right hand. And in the evening, do the CD that's in your left hand. So I went home. I have no idea what the CDs were. I went home. I put the CDs on. It was a long time ago, huh? We had CDs then. And I put the CD in. And actually, the morning CD was Dynamic Meditation, which, of course, is one of Osho's signature meditations. For those of us who know Osho's meditations. And the left-handed CD was Kundalini. He told me to do both the meditations day and night for 21 days and then come back and let him know how things have gone. Well, of course, I did dynamic. I drove my neighbors a bit crazy. I drove myself a bit crazy. I thought, my gosh, what on earth am I doing? What am I getting into? But in those 21 days, something landed in me that just opened, I don't know, the most powerful, peaceful, fun-loving, fulfilled space inside of me. It still kind of brings tears to my eyes because that was the moment I was taken. I was so touched. I was moved. And of course, I then began my research into Osho. And I think the first book I read from Osho was The Way of the White Clouds. I think it was. And then, of course, from then I started to study more. But what was really beautiful was then I had right at the beginning of a 5-year master's in psychotherapy, which I did actually in 4 years, I had Osho side by side. And so really what I was able to then do was combine psychotherapy and Osho meditations, Osho philosophy, Osho's love, Osho's celebration in my journey into, I guess, what I would call the human potential.
Wow, that is just extraordinary, and it's so exciting. And, you know, clearly the guy you met in Watkins Library Bookshop, which is in Cecil Court, I know it very well. I used to go there a lot. It's wonderful. Must have been a sannyasin, of course, and perhaps we even know him.
I hope he's listening, because when I returned after 21 days, he was no longer there. I never got to thank him, and I'm sure he felt my gratitude like over and over again. But whoever you are, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
Well, actually, I think we know this guy. What is he? An Indian man with a long beard?
Yes. Who is he?
So that man is the companion, the partner of Mukti's sister, Divya. So Mukti was the chef, was the cook for Osho for many, many, many years. And Divya is the youngest sister. They are very old sannyasins that were with Osho from the very, very beginning. And Divya has this loving relationship with this man. I don't remember his name right now. But he used to go to Watkins to do tarot reading and just share his love for Osho. So that's the man.
Oh my gosh, that is so amazing. That just touches me. I was like, where's that guy? Amazing that you guys know him. That's fantastic. Please, I'd love to connect with him. I have many things to share.
Wow, look, this is so cool. And it's totally unplanned, just for people to know. I actually didn't know this story from you for the first time. We know each other. We were in London together for quite a while. And it's great to hear.
It's true. I never shared this story. I've shared it very infrequently. So it's just beautiful to remind myself that there are miracles and magic out there. And yeah, it comes through Osho often. Many people know that.
Yeah, and just to add a little bit more synchronicities, the way you came across Osho reminds me the way I came across Osho was a guy, a sannyasin with a long beard from Germany. I came to know, who used to live in Italy, and he was selling some Osho books in the most unthinkable place you would guess to find an Osho book. I was pulled towards this little bookshelf, and I found this Osho book, and I got it, and then from there, you know, I fell in love with Osho.
Well, it is amazing, isn't it? And, you know, I think what it highlights is when the time is ready, or when the student's ready, as they say, the master appears in really unpredictable, amazing ways. That's what keeps me really excited about life, because if you let go of everything you know, all of a sudden something amazing can pop up in different crazy ways, huh?
Absolutely. Wow, so cool. I'm really excited. So tell us from that moment. So you had your 21 days double morning, evening meditation with Dynamic and Kundalini. So from there, how did you then take sannyas?
So, you know, then I continued to do, I guess I'm going to say, Osho in my own unique way. I have my relationship which I think all sannyasins, I don't know, I can't speak for all sannyasins, but for myself, my own unique way of hearing his voice and feeling him. And I remember just going through my master's training and feeling drawn to find the old sannyasin teachers. And I think one colleague of mine told me about Family Constellations, which I had already trained in, but Family Constellations, which was going to be taught by Svagito. And Svagito, as many people will know, of course, is an old sannyasin, and he was coming to London. So I went along, I did a weekend workshop with Svagito, and I really fell in love with his style. And of course, what comes through, I think, many sannyasin therapists or teachers, which is truth, which is authenticity, which is love, which is controversial, challenging elements, which I think wake us up or woke me up. And so I studied for a long time with Svagito. I did a lot of his trainings, his pulsation, his family constellations for many, many years. And from there, of course, I then got to meet other teachers. So I did pulsation training with Anisha. And I think what I did is I just kept deepening and just really feeling into the difference of when we work on ourselves with the meditation, with the presence of meditation, with the presence of awareness and consciousness. You work through, you know, the psychology of the conditioning and meet that core essential place. So for me, it is always and has always been alive in me to really go deep into the essential place of who I am. So deepening with all the therapists that I know Osho taught was a beautiful way. And I feel very privileged to have worked with many sannyasin therapists, teachers.
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, and we interviewed Svagito. Hopefully we'll catch Anisha. We are working on that. So for everyone interested, we do have a lot of interviews with beautiful therapists and sannyasins who have been with Osho, and that you had the opportunity to work with.
I think you just recently interviewed Momina, who is amazing also.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, just came up the last one, actually. Okay, so Manisha, I'd love to hear a little bit more in details why or how come you are with Osho. You decided to be with Osho, who is no more physically present as your guide in the spiritual path, considering that we live in a world where there are so many options, so many religious paths, spiritual traditions, different teachers and ways to go. But you are with Osho. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, I am. These are beautiful questions because it makes me stop and just really tune in and align with, how come? I guess, you know, I grew up in the UK with a white mother and a Nigerian father, and I have this kind of mix inside of me, which is, I don't know, I think an energy of rebellion. Not in some anarchist way, you know, in a completely destructive way, but like this drive to just not settle. And I don't mean that in some agitated way. It's like kind of a passionate drive to know more and to deepen more and to really experience in a real felt sense way what truth is. And for me, Osho is a master or a mystic who really says it how it is. And he says it how it is, sometimes in a paradoxical, controversial, kind of really penetrating way, which I think makes me, or has definitely made me, stop and kind of think, whoa, that really touches me. And it makes me think, it makes me feel, it makes me want to wake up. So I think Osho is, you know, timeless. I think he speaks to the now, and I think he speaks to the now without needing outcomes, without creating, replications or repetitions of human beings. For me, he really sees human life and humans as unique beings, whereby he guides you, or I feel I've been guided by him, to come back home inside myself and find an inner truth or an inner guru in me, which I think he is his message. We all have that connection to existence, to life, to God, to nature inside. And, you know, many of his controversial quotes really just sit with me. You know, I remember hearing him say, as soon as you see me as your guru, you know, kill me. And I kind of take that in a non-literal sense. It's like it was never, in my understanding, about seeing him as something that I can feel inside myself. So I think Osho comes with a message which is really about getting through the bullshit, really letting go of the layers of conditioning, programming again and again, and coming back to a real soul space, and fundamentally coming back through celebration. You know, his message for me is that life is not so serious. It doesn't have to be tied up with proving, with efforting, with performance. Life can be one flow of real celebration and joy. And that for me is special. I think it's unique. I'm not so sure there are so many masters or gurus or whatever we want to call them, mystics out there that really combine music and dance and fun and depth and potential and love and charisma all in one package. You know, Osho has that unique message that can reach from the youngest of us into, you know, up to those of us who are in our later years. So for me, I have been, you know, directed and guided and touched by Osho on so many levels. When I'm in my fear, when I'm in my craziness, when I'm in my joy, and really acknowledging each and every time exactly where I'm at without having to get rid of anything has meant that I can really just keep coming back to the present moment. And as soon as I hear, feel, or just look into his eyes, you know, with the beautiful pictures and paintings that I do have, something just relaxes. And there is that internal relaxed confidence of, yeah, I'm in the right place. So, yeah, I wonder if I've answered your question. I'm sure I could go on forever, but did I answer your question?
Absolutely. Beautifully put. Beautifully put. I'd love to just stay with this image of looking at Osho's eyes and having this feeling of, what did you say, relaxed?
Relaxed confidence.
Confidence. Relax. Oh, so beautiful. You know, confidence and relaxation that everything is all right and you are in the right place. It's so beautiful.
Yes. And I think that is the power of Osho, you know, that I think once you feel him on a fundamentally deep level, then he's with you forever. And yeah, maybe that's the way he speaks to us, so that we can find that within ourselves at any moment in the middle of chaos, you know, coming back to that present moment of real knowing.
Yes. And I think when we have this deep connection with Osho is where even just looking at him for a fraction of a second, you can get that nourishment or that feeling of relaxed confidence. You know, when there is the channel is open, the heart is open, and there is that connection is where the magic really happens.
And you know, just recently, because of the current situation, I've been in one place for much longer than ever in my whole life, I think. And I found this beautiful painting that actually Mira painted that I bought from Svagito of Osho. A beautiful painting that Mira has done. And I went to get it framed just recently. And the guy who framed it, who's an incredible artist, he said, "Wow, who is this person? Who is this?" And he looked into Osho's eyes and he said, "My God, he speaks to me." You see, and this was a guy in a marketplace in Tymouth up in the north. And so I said to him, "Of course, this is Osho." And he said, "Well, how can I get to know him?" And I said, "You can find on YouTube, you can start with his books, listen to some of his recordings and just see." He said, "I know already." And so since, this particular guy in the marketplace is now spreading the word of Osho.
Osho is alive. And when we say Osho is alive, it literally means that, you know, that people can feel that just looking at him in a picture, something awakes. That's life.
Absolutely. I think that is something that we all know, those of us who have been in the presence of Osho, whether that's kind of just his talks or his photographs or with old sannyasins, he just beams, he oozes out and he's around. And that's just so unique. That's just so enlivening. That's the truth.
Okay, so now after this little honeymoon with Osho, you've just been, let's move on and talk a little bit about your profession and passion. You mentioned that you study psychotherapy, specifically the branch of transpersonal psychotherapy. Yes. And then that, of course, you integrate all of your life experience within your profession. And in addition to your private practice as a psychotherapist, you also are part of the Path of Love team. We actually interviewed Turia, but we didn't dwell too much on the Path of Love. So for people who don't know Perhaps if you would like to give a brief overview of what it is, and then how did you get involved, and you know, what do you do together with the Path of Love guys?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's one of the other beauties of being with Osho, is that the community is extensive. It is so massive and incredibly embracing. You could travel the world, and as soon as you meet someone who has Osho alive in them, or who is a sannyasin, then, you know, you have a common language. And so when it comes to the Path of Love, I'm incredibly privileged. Of course, I get to work alongside Rafia and Turea, who are the founders of Path of Love, and unique, beautiful friends and human beings. And so my involvement, actually, I'm fairly new to Path of Love, in that I think I was in... I think it was in 2016 when I was speaking to a colleague of mine in the offices that I practice from, which is a transpersonal training building in London. And he said, "How come you haven't done Path of Love?" And I said, "Wow, it's true. A beautiful question." And he said, "Actually, Rafia is in town. You should go and have lunch with him." So I did. I had lunch with Rafia, and he's a really fun, amazing guy, and we really got on well. And he said, "Yeah, you kind of got to do it." So I looked when the next one was, and actually it was in a month's time, or even less than that, maybe 2-3 weeks' time, in Greece. And I thought, my gosh, this is tying my life pathways together. So I returned. I did Path of Love in Greece, and it's an incredible journey. So Path of Love is a 7-day residential retreat, which really is about focusing in on the patterns, the conditions, the structures that we run our life by. Because I went through the whole process, I deepened, and I've been really, really embraced, and on some level, perhaps fast-tracked to really facilitate the Path of Love and begin leading the Path of Love. And before the current circumstances, we led Path of Love in Portugal. And I'm never, ever surprised to see the transformation that can happen in people. So it is this 7-day retreat where people are really faced with their psychological structures and patterns and programmings that they believe they are, and in a very loving, safe environment, they are held. So often there's 40 participants and about 35 staff. And we hold an environment where, although we're therapists, we're not pretending with methodologies that we know where people need to go. What we do is we create a particular environment where participants can come and face, through exposure, through movement, through meditation, through dance, and real challenge to their structures, who they really are underneath the patterns of behavior. So they are held in a very truthful, honest way, while the staff are also going through the process again in their own way, so that all we are really creating is an environment which really enhances truth. Truth, transformation, but it allows for the essence of a person, the qualities, the deep qualities that are unaffected by conditioning and programming, to emerge. And it's a really life transforming retreat. And I don't say that, you know, like kind of lightly, because you are coming and you have to be courageous and bold. You have to be hungry and really, you know, thirsty for more. And when I say more, I mean for the knowledge of, hey, what's my purpose? Hey, what's my potential? What is the essential truth of my being? And so a lot of people come because they're feeling dissatisfied or just unfulfilled. They have met so many achievements in their life, and it's something still missing. And so Path of Love really is this amazing process, which is inspired by Osho, held together over 26 years, I think, now, by Ture and Rafia, and then there are all these other teams which are global and in 16 different countries now, where each of us who run or facilitate or are in love with the Path of Love really come with the love of the truth. We come and we hold a space so that participants can really do a deep dive through all of those layers and beliefs that really steer our lives in particular manufactured ways into the possibility of new consciousness, new emergence, new opportunities, possibilities. And I really believe more and more now with what we are facing that we are really in times of opportunity. We're in times of breaking through all of the collective traumas that we've all experienced and all been born into to really move through the scar tissues and really emerge with new consciousness so that we're all speaking from a place of essential presence and awareness. And I think Path of Love really has the ingredients that open all of those opportunities to anybody who feels a sense of, hey, I want to really know who I truly am and what I can truly be in this lifetime.
Wonderful. And I can only say that when we were in London, we used to, as you know, organize the OSH events, and we used to get a lot of people that completed the Path of Love, and they would come to us because they were so inspired, so touched, and they wanted to carry on with the dynamic meditation. But really, they wanted to carry on with that process that started in the Path of Love. And they were really sincere about taking their life in a different direction. And I remember that just before we left London, we were discussing with you, with Simon, how to work together, because I think you guys at that time were moving towards London. I think Rafia was spending more time in London, and you had planned to do more events in London. So I'm really curious to hear how things are going or were going up to a few months ago before COVID with the Path of Love in London.
Yes, yes. You guys held such an incredible space in London. So after Path of Love, people want to really embrace it and embody the path. And so really the meditations were crucial. And so we did, we created some amazing events, Rafia and I and Simon in the beginning, where we were doing one-day events in Tri Yoga in London, which was really successful, brilliant, where we were bringing in the Path of Love ingredients. Of course, it's not so easy because it's a seven-day experiential retreat and therefore not so easy to explain, much more easy to experience. But we were doing one day and sometimes weekend events, which were really well received. And we involved, of course, the meditations, the breath work, the inquiry, a lot of the deep depth work. And they were really working. Now we have a new venue, which is actually in Yorkshire. And it's an amazing venue, Broughton Hall. And there we plan to continue with the events and doing, you know, Path of Love has intros which are kind of awakening on the path, awakening to love. Then there's the residential. Then we have walking the path, which is 4 days. And these are just events that allow the community to really stay alive and in contact and doing the work. Of course, after you've done Path of Love, you can come back and staff, which is a beautiful experience. And so the hope is that right now we're watching what's happening, but that we will do a Path of Love in November. I think there's one that's happening in Greece in September. I think that's kind of, we're watching exactly what's needed, the guidelines, and really, of course, putting health and safety first. But it's going to happen, if everything goes to plan, with Rafi and I in November in Yorkshire, which will be amazing, especially after a period where people have been kind of confined, I think, to pressure cooker and having to look at themselves in some way or another. Holding a space and reigniting Path of Love right after these experiences, I think, will be amazing. And then we will continue the events in the way that existence allows. But for sure, it's an ongoing, you know, life process where we really encourage implementing the meditations, the inquiries and presence and awareness in daily life. It becomes a lifestyle. It's a way of life. And it's not forced. It's a lifestyle that just comes with ease. And for sure, as we're in the UK at the minute, that we will really encourage that and hold that space so that that can happen.
Yes, and I really wish you all the best with that, because again, we lived in London for many years and we were doing these OSH events, and there are lots of people who want that, but somehow, especially in London, the reality of a big metropolis, it's hard to be committed to start one path. You can get lost very easily and dispersed. So if you can hold that kind of very powerful energetic experience that people have when they come to the Path of Love, and then they're really inspired to carry on, and then, you know, if you're in London or there are other people there, they can have, you know, that continuity. So excited for you guys, and you know, hopefully you do great work in the UK.
Yes, so. it's true, you know, we will keep prodding and igniting London and in the UK. You know, I think it's beautiful to open it up so that we can really create a community. One of the things that was a little difficult for me coming back from Greece before I found you and Chetna was to actually keep Osho alive inside myself by attending the event. So I agree with you that actually the inspiration and the venues that are required, you know, to really do the work in London, in the UK, in the north, in also, you know, there's a lot of sannyasins that I found out live in Scotland. So for sure, as long as we're in the UK, we will be keeping that ignition going. And of course, Osho is global. So everywhere we can travel to be with him too.
Absolutely. And in fact, this leads me to the next part of the interview, which is about the sannyas community. And I'm wondering, for you personally, where do you go to recharge? I know that you're extremely busy, but in a good way. I mean, you're super energetic, you're pure fire, you have abundant energy. But as every human being, I'm sure that you need to recharge. So what is your favorite place, Osho place, Osho community, where you like to go to get that nourishment?
Right. Wow. So, well, recently I was in Oceanic in Brazil. And for me, that just set my soul on fire. Exotic, beautiful people, amazing friends, an incredible community, and beautiful work. So we did, I was part of Path of Love in Brazil in January. And so I got really to experience the exoticness of life in Oceanic, which was for me really rewarding, incredibly recharging. They do have these huge frogs, which, you know, took a long time to kind of dance with, but eventually I got there. But yes, for me, that was a beautiful recharge. Also, I love Miasto in Italy. I did a lot of my training there with Anisha, and I really find that an incredible place. Afros in Greece is also where I did my first path of love. And so I think we're really lucky and really privileged because we can dip in to different centers that speak to us in different ways. You know, I have a bit of an African tribal passion in me as well. So the rawness of nature, which I think Afros can offer when you're completely, you know, wild and just living in huts, is very beautiful and just adds to the flavor and the deliciousness of what you can learn when you are really in touch with yourself and recharging in your interior.
Okay, well, that's fantastic. And thanks for reminding us of all these beautiful places. And just now realize, well, actually, there are places in every continent. So, you know, all it takes is to read a bit of time and just go there and recharge. And then hopefully you find your local community with friends, wherever you live. And then when you need a longer retreat, off you go. You can go to Brazil or Europe or Asia. There is Auschwitz everywhere.
It's so true. And you know something? Through lockdown, you can turn Zoom on and jump on your trampoline, which is what I ended up doing. I did 3 months of dynamic on my trampoline throughout lockdown. And I met with lots of my friends in the community on Zoom. So you can make it work wherever you are.
Amazing. And I don't know how to imagine you doing dynamic on the trampoline, but maybe you can record the session once and start a new movement or something.
I even mastered the technique of being blindfolded. Now that's balance. And it's like, wow. You know, for me, dynamic is an incredible meditation because really there's so many aspects to it that you learn, not just balance, but really being able to be in a container, which of course is your body. And so, yeah, I learn more and more. Every time I do dynamic, I learn something else. But dynamic on a trampoline with a blindfold for 3 months was quite special.
Wow, that takes the challenge of dynamic to the whole new level, I must say.
Yes, and fun too. Huh?
Of course. Okay, Manisha. So we're heading towards the end, and I'd love to hear your view on the sannyas community today. What would you like to see in the sannyas world today?
Oh, that's an interesting question. What would I like to see? Well, I would just love to see what I experience about and with Osho's message of truth, authenticity, and love really come into fruition more and more with an element of consciousness, presence, where we're all taking self-responsibility. We're all falling in love with ourselves so that we can really communicate on a truthful, real, authentic basis. Well, you meet people and you don't necessarily need something from them, and you don't need them to need something from you. We can meet as the potential soul core, essential beings that we are. You know, that we are really experiencing being real together. And so I think the opportunity is definitely there that we can really come together and be courageous enough to be our authentic selves without trying or performing or pretending to be what we think others need us to be. So I would love to see the community really embrace honesty, authenticity, truth, and love, which is different for all of us, but with huge self-responsibility.
Okay, so look, Manisha, I think you have got it all. You have fire, you have intelligence, you have passion. You know, you're just this bombastic, energetic, super beautiful lady. You've got it all. So I really wish that you make it happen. You know, you just carry on and do it and just go for it.
What a beautiful, beautiful compliment to hear. Thank you so much, Swaram. Really, really thank you.
Okay, so we are at the end. Is there anything else you would like to add before we finish the interview?
Oh, what else to add? Let's celebrate. Let's be real. Let's love ourselves and everyone. What to say? I thank you very much. Really, it was such a joy to meet you and Chetna all those years ago. And I also love what you guys are doing and bringing. And so I really want to say that your smile and your energy, both of you, is also what the planet needs. So you guys also keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you very much, Manisha. Really, really enjoyed this chat. I feel so re-energized, so bubbly. It was amazing. So lots of love and a big hug.
Big hugs to you. Big, big hugs.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit lovoshow.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us. Thank you.